call it. You know, sometimes I get halfway through the message and I'm like, oh, that's what we'll call it. So praise the Lord. Maybe we should do a raffle. Give me the best title. So I don't have a title yet, but let me ask you, has this ever happened to you? You're driving late at night. It's dark. It's late at night. You open the window. You kind of hang your head out so you can get air to keep you awake. And you know you should have probably not been driving that late. And you're chugging coffee. Nowadays, it's one of those energy drinks. And all of a sudden, you hear, boop, 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 boop. And all of a sudden, you snap out because you fell asleep. And what was that thing? Boop, 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 boop. A rumble strip. Okay, you hit the rumble strip. And thank God for rumble strips because they alert you if you went, you know, to sleep. Praise the Lord. Has anybody had any firsthand experiences with rumble strips? The rest of you are all great drivers. Gosh. Okay, I haven't had experience with rumble strips falling asleep in a couple of decades because I usually don't drive that late. But the other day, okay, my insurance agent isn't here. Praise God. The other day I was driving, and I know not to text, okay? I got smart because I smashed in someone's car doing that. So I was driving, and I had this new big thingamajigger screen to press in, and I was like, And next thing I know, boom, 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 because my car started drifting. Yeah, yeah. So here's a picture of a rumble strip. This is a center one. And the center ones are really good because they'll prevent you from going on to head-on traffic, right? Praise God for them. So like I said, there's other ones that go on the side, like boop, 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 boop. And then there's rumble strips that go in the front, like when you pull into a toll booth. You know what I'm talking about? And they're to slow you down. You know, go flying into the toll booth area. Uh-huh. Okay, funny little story. So my friend who's a grandfather said they were pulling into one of those toll booths and it went boom, 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 boom. And he said, Pop, Pop, did your car eat too many beans last night and it's tooting? He's like, oh my God, don't you love kids? The kid's like 4 years old. Don't you love kids? Just tooting. Okay, so rumble strips are audible and tactile, right? You can hear them, boop, 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 and you can kind of feel your whole car shaking, righty? Do you know that they cost $5,000 per mile? Thank you, PennDOT, for our taxes, okay? But statistics show that 51% of fatal crashes have gone down because of them. So what's the purpose of a rumble strip? What's the purpose? To alert you if you're distracted or drowsy, right? Okay, guys, God has rumble strips. God has rumble strips, all right? And the purpose of them, now they're actually spiritual rumble strips, and the purpose of them is to alert you if you start falling asleep spiritually or drifting downstream where you shouldn't go. They're there to protect you. So everybody say, tell your neighbor, I like rumble strips. Yep. And as far as I know, I don't think they do any damage to your car, okay? So the text that we're going to do a lot in this series is found in the book of Ephesians, okay? The book of Ephesians. And can I just encourage you, read Ephesians once a week while we go through this series. It's only 6 chapters, okay? So you can read that once a week. Just read the book of Ephesians, okay? Now, let me tell you, chapters 1, 2, and 3 in Ephesians talks about all the things that God has given you since you've believed in Jesus. Okay? And you'll read things like, you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Right? You'll read things like, you are now seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. You now have authority. You now this. You now that. All these great blessings. So that's in chapters 1, 2, and 3. And if you look at my Bible, I got all those things underlined. Just because those are all the blessings. Now, chapters 4, 5, and 6. Since you have been blessed because you've received Jesus, and since God just blesses the socks off of you, this is what chapter 4, 5, and 6 is. These are instructions on how you are to live on this earth, how you are to live now that you're a believer, All right, so that's what the 4, 5, and 6. So we're going to look at 4, 5, and 6. Actually, Ephesians chapter 5, if you want to open up to that. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4, it's a rumble strip. Okay? So that means its purpose is to protect you from falling asleep spiritually and just drifting in life. All right? So it's a rumble strip. So y'all at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Now, you can take this two ways. One way is, I've just received Jesus. Like, wake up and receive Jesus, okay? And how many of you have woke up and received Jesus? All right? This also, in context, is a rumble strip where it says, hey, this is dealing with you falling asleep spiritually and going down roads that you should not go down, that are not good for you. They're just not good for you, all righty? So you know, we have this, I received Jesus 40 years ago, and I have this life with him, but I need some rumble strips in my life, all right? And actually, we're going to call these wisdom strips. We need some wisdom strips in our life, all right? Because these wisdom strips or rumble strips are going to stop you. You're going to feel it. Boom, 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 boom. You're going to feel it, and they're going to stop you from going on a path you shouldn't go and a place you shouldn't be. Amen? So I'm going to read the next verse 15. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, which means, hey, wake up and think about this. So you are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise men, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Next week, we're going to dig into this, but right now we're going to dig into verse 17. And it says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of God. Everybody say the will of God. Okay. The will of God, the will of the Lord. Okay, that is referring to the general will of God. And it applies to you, it applies to you, it applies to everybody. This is the general will of God that applies to everybody. All righty? So, and do you know where you find the general will of God? In the Bible, okay? Real easy. You will find the will of God in the Bible, all righty? So we're going to call these wisdom strips, all righty? And the Bible is full of wisdom strips, full of them, all right? Now, the whole Bible isn't full of wisdom strips because, you know, they got a bunch of history in there. And then they got the begats, the begats, the begats, the begats. And maybe it's a wisdom strip to you, but for me, it's not, okay? So the whole Bible is not full of wisdom strips, but the Bible has a whole bunch of them, all righty? And the wisdom strips that we're going to pull out and see what they are and how they will protect us, and we want to walk in them. So here's my main idea that I want you to understand more clearly than before. Some of you are like, well, that's all right. You're on the refresher course. Other views are going to go, oh, wow, Pastor D. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Here's our main idea. You can't protect what you can't detect. You can't protect what you can't or you don't detect, okay? So you have to see what's coming so you can protect. You have to see what's coming so you can protect, all righty? So I have a bunch of car stories. Here we go. My friends were flying back, and they landed in Chicago. And, of course, it had been snowing all day. They get their car out of parking, and they're driving home, and it's snowing. And it's a little difficult to see. So while they're driving, they get to a red light. They stop their car. They're at a red light. And the husband looks in the rear view mirror, and he can see a car barreling down. And he's like, uh-oh, they don't, you know, it's snowing. They don't see the red light. They don't see my taillights. And he says to his wife, honey, we're about ready to get hit. Brace yourself. So because he's looking at the intersection where they're stopped and he doesn't see any cars coming, it's kind of deserted because everybody in their right mind is not driving because it's a snowstorm. So he sees the car coming and he takes his foot off the brake so it'll have a little give. And guess what? The car smacked into the back of them and they went flying in the intersection. Now, fortunately, they weren't hurt bad. They weren't hurt bad. The car crunched a little bit. All right, so they were very thankful, and they got a rental car for a couple of days till their car got fixed. So here we are with my friend. He's kind of a hoot. So he's driving his rental car a couple of days later, and he goes to a meeting that evening. And afterwards, he goes out to eat with a couple of people, and he's driving home, and it's like 9:30, 10:30 at night, and he's thinking, man, I am so tired. I just wish I was home, and man, I wonder what I'm going to eat tomorrow morning for breakfast. And next thing he knows, somebody, and he's at a stoplight, somebody barrels into the back of him. You talk about the week from hell. Two accidents in 1 week, only this time, he didn't see it. He wasn't ready for it. And he was messed up for a while. He had MRIs and physical therapy and stuff like that. So the moral of the story, you ready? You can't protect what you can't detect. All right? Guys, I don't know if you figured this out yet, but there's a lot of danger in this world that we live in. And I'm not talking about toxic things. I'm just talking about spiritually. And you don't always know all the things that are dangerous out there. I don't. Like some days I'm just clueless, all right? Or some days I'm like, well, I'm just naive. But I don't know all that's going on that's dangerous. And you don't know all that's going on in the world that's dangerous. But listen, God knows. And God has given us rumble strips, wisdom strips. And the purpose of them, the word of God, and we're going to go through a bunch of these today, is to protect you. To protect you. So everybody say protect. Yeah. All right. Now, there's a ton of wisdom strips that are protection, rumble strips in the book of Proverbs. So let me give you a little background on the book of Proverbs. Ready? King Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs. He's the third king of Israel. His dad was King David, and his dad is getting ready to die, and he appoints him to be the next king, and then David dies. And so here we are, King Solomon. He was 20 years old when he became king of Israel. All right? That's a little young, okay? And right away, do you know what he does? Immediately he's made king, and immediately he has this all-out meeting where they sacrifice hundreds and hundreds of animals to the Lord. Now, some of you are going, oh, gross. But that's equivalent to like a 24/7 worship service and praise service. He has this big praise service for the Lord. And they're just, you know, just worshiping God. Just, God, you're so wonderful. God, you're awesome. And God appears to him. God appears to Saul, this 20-year-old young king. And he says, Hey, Saul. Solomon, thank you. I needed that. Thank you. He goes, hey, Solomon, I've seen what you have done, and I am going to, you can ask anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And you're like, whoa, that's like the credit card with a maximum, no limits, right? So Solomon asked for wisdom. He said, listen, God, I'm 20 years old. I don't know what the heck I'm doing with millions of these people. And I need wisdom, and I'm asking for wisdom. And he just blew the socks off of God. Now, I know you can't blow the socks off of God, but just think about that. He just so, like, tickled God, impressed him. And God said, Solomon, because you did not ask to kill all your enemies, I was like, let's strike them dead. Because you did not ask for a length of life, because you did not ask for riches, I am going to make you the wisest man that ever lived on the planet. And he does. And because of that, because you asked for wisdom, I'm also going to give you length of days and you're just tons of riches. And if, Bible historians have dug up and researched all about the wealth of Solomon, and that says he was like trillions of dollars in today's dollars. Trillions of dollars worth of wealth. That's pretty good. So here he is, the wealthiest guy that I know that's ever lived. And then he's the wisest guy, the wisest person. And Solomon writes the book of Proverbs. Now, the book of Proverbs is written really for young people before they go out into the world. So by the way, read this to your kids. Okay, real easy. Just read these to your kids. All right. But you know what? How many of you need some wisdom as you're going out in the world? Okay, so it's not just for kids. So go dig into the book of Proverbs, all righty? Now, one of the things that Solomon writes in the book of Proverbs is a principle. It's a Bible principle. It's a Bible principle, not just in the Old Covenant, not just back then in Bible days. It's a Bible principle from cover to cover. And actually, Paul writes about this principle. So I'm going to give you one of them. Here we go. Turn over to Proverbs 9:10. Listen to this one. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So we're not going to talk about the last part. We're going to talk about the first part where it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How many of you have read that and you're like, okay, so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And what it's saying is, listen, you and I can't even grasp God's wisdom until we get to a place where we fear the Lord. God's wisdom, he's saying, is just going to go over your head until you get to a place where you fear the Lord. So what's the fear of the Lord? Well, I can tell you what it's not. It's not you being afraid of God. Oh, I'm so afraid of God. God's going to punish me. Hey, if you ask Jesus Christ into your life, Jesus has already taken your punishment. Right? So you don't have to be, oh, I'm so afraid. I'm trembling that God's going to backhand me. That's not what it's talking about. All right? So the fear of the Lord doesn't mean this. So I'm going to give you a definition of the fear of the Lord in a minute. But real simple is the fear of the Lord is you are in awe of him. Everybody say awe, awe of him. So here's kind of my definition. It's when you and I come to the place where we realize that God is God and I am his creation. You'll read that in Ephesians and Colossians. I'm his creation, okay? Now listen, even though you're born again and you have been seated in the heavenlies and you've been made righteous, God is God and you are his creation. Praise God, all right? And listen, at the end of my life, I am going to stand before him, God Almighty. And I am going to stand before him for how I live my life, and he's going to reward me. But guess what? It's still God is God, and he knows everything. And I'm his creation. And now listen, most days I don't know some things I ought to know. And he just, you know, he just knows everything. So the fear of the Lord is the day you get to the place where you go, God, you are God Almighty, and you have created me, and I am going to come to you to hear what you have to say. That's the fear of the Lord. All righty. Now, the person who walks in the fear of the Lord comes to that place and says, God, I'm coming to you. I'm hungry to hear what you have to say. The person who doesn't do that, who doesn't come to God and say, God, you're God, I'm only your creation, and doesn't pay attention or come to God to hear what he says, he's not walking in the fear of the Lord. All right. Now, an atheist, they don't even believe in God. So they're not even going to have the fear of the Lord. Right? Okay. Hands down. We all agree with that. But listen, put your seatbelts on, start smiling at me. Christians, there's a lot of Christians that don't walk in the fear of the Lord. Okay, what am I talking about? All right, listen, there's a lot of Christians. How do you become a Christian? You become born again, you receive Jesus. Jesus, I believe that you're Jesus, okay, and I ask you to come into my life, okay? So they believe in Jesus, they believe in God, but listen, this is what they do. They look at this book called the Bible, and they say, well, you know, we live in a whole different culture. You know, that Bible was written way back then in Bible days for those kind of people. And, you know, a lot of this stuff in the Bible just doesn't to apply to me in living in this time that I do. And what they do is they take parts of the Bible out and take some more parts of the Bible out. And they take more parts of the Bible out, okay? And what happens is you can be a Christian that doesn't fear the Lord because he is God and I'm his creation. And what he says, woo, I'm going to believe. All right. So, fear of the Lord. God, I realize that you're God. You know everything. You have made plans and created creation, all right? And I listen, Lord, I don't understand all your wisdom. And sometimes, Lord, I don't even want to do some of this stuff. But God, you are God, and I'm just your creation, and I am going to submit my life to your word. You have just entered to the fear of the Lord and the beginning of wisdom. Praise God. Praise God. Guess this isn't a shouting service, is it? I don't know. Praise the Lord. All right. Let me give you a Proverbs, a wisdom strip. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 27. Proverbs 14, 27. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. So I read that, and that's a rumble strip, right? It's protection. Boom, 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 boom. I read that, and that's a rumble strip, okay? And so it's saying, God's saying, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life in your life, and I'll protect you so you don't crash, okay? So that's a wisdom strip. Praise the Lord. Here's the next one, Proverbs 28, 26. Proverbs 28, 26. Proverbs 28, 26. Those who trust in themselves are fools. Everybody say fools. Bunch of fools. I love that. Okay. But those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. So what's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. All right. So if you're walking in wisdom, you're walking and recognizing that God, you are God, you know everything, and I am just going to submit and find out and be hungry for what you say. Alrighty. Now, did you notice it says that you'll be kept safe? You'll be kept safe if you walk in God's wisdom. I want to be safe, right? You'll be kept safe. And the other part, did you see he calls people a fool? You're a fool if you don't do this. Now, this fool is not talking about somebody who's academically challenged, because you can be super smart and still be a fool. This is not talking about one of those court jesters who's jumping around and acting all silly and stuff like that, all right? It's not talking about that. It's talking about a Bible fool. And you know what that is? A Bible fool, it's a person who doesn't fear the Lord and walk in his wisdom, all right? That's a fool. Now, I didn't say that. God said that. So, now, you can go out and just live any way you want. You can do what you want. You can go places you want. You can say what you want. God's going to allow you to do that. He doesn't control you. Man, when I was a mama, I am a mama still, but when my kids were little, I had the gate that gated them in the kitchen. Two gates, because you can go through the dining room here. I gated them, and I told them, today we're coloring. Tomorrow we're playing Play-Doh. I controlled life, okay? God doesn't do that to us. God doesn't do that to us, all right? Listen. You can be a Bible fool and you can wreck your life because you're not walking in God's wisdom. And he's laid it out there for you. But how many of you wake up and say, today I'm going to wreck my life. Today I'm going to wreck my car. I'm going to go 100 miles an hour, smash into a wall and see what falls apart. No, we don't do that. Or how many of you wake up and say, I'm going to wreck my life today. I'm going to wreck my marriage today. I'm going to wreck my relationship with my kids today. I'm going to wreck my life today. You don't wake up and do that, do you? No, of course not. If you did, we're praying for you, casting out devils here, all right? But listen, you can't protect what you can't detect. You can't protect what you don't see. And God gives you wisdom strips, praise the Lord, okay? And his wisdom strips are as his, as he's saying, listen, I can tell you what's going to happen if you do that. I can tell you ahead of time what's going to happen if you do this. And you can do this, and I'm going to have blessings in your life. Or you can do that, and you're going to wreck your life. All right? So wisdom strips, rumble strips. It's all about, that's how much God loves you, that he puts these out here for us to help us in life. So I want to give you two wisdom strips, real simple. The first one applies to everybody, All right? But I want to tell you, if you're, we don't have any of them. We have young person. We don't have young people. But listen, if you learn this while you're young, you will walk in blessings. But listen, I'm still applying this one. So here's your first one. If you're writing notes, write this down, taking notes. Wisdom strip of hard work. The wisdom strip of hard work. All right? When you read your Bible, depending on what translation, you'll see the word diligent. Right? Or hard work. And the Bible will say, the diligent are blessed. Right? Anybody read that in your Bible, and especially in Proverbs? Then it talks about the sluggard. Anybody ever hear about a sluggard? The sluggard's a lazy person. All right? Now, this is not referring to someone who does physical labor and they're out sweating hard work. It's not about that. It's not about somebody who works 60 hours a week. It's not about that. Okay? So I'm going to give you the big long definition of what hard work and diligence is. So they're going to pop it up on the screen. It goes like this. Eager determination that is sharply focused. You know, I got this out of a Bible. I mean, a dictionary. Eager determination that is sharply focused and strives for the best results. Okay. In other words, real simple. You put 100% into whatever you're doing. Diligent, hard worker. You put 100% in to what you're doing. 100% in, okay? So, just imagine, I am a diligent worker. I am a hard worker. It's Monday morning. I get up and go, wow, I can't wait to go to work today. This is awesome. Then I get to work and I go to my boss. Hey, what can I do today? And then he tells me to do this, and I'm going, yay, I am going to do work 100% with all my heart. How many of you know that's not always the normal thing? All right? The other people, not me, you know, okay? So that's not always normal, all righty? So a sluggard or a lazy person is just the opposite of diligence, the hard worker, right? So now a sluggard could be someone who doesn't work, who could work. Okay, that could be a sluggard or a lazy person. But, you know, I know people that work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, and they're sluggards. So maybe we better figure out what a sluggard is, all right? All righty. Let me tell you, it's definitely the opposite of diligence. And a sluggard, this would be a sluggard. They get to work, the boss isn't around, they're just kind of cutting up with everybody, having fun, not doing, you know, just sleazing through, okay? That could be a lazy sluggard person, all righty? And they never put their whole heart into doing what they need to do. They're on their cell phone half the time. The boss thinks, oh, they must be really busy, or on their computer, and they're not putting 100% into what they're doing. Anybody know anybody like that? Okay, don't point anybody, all right? Okay, but listen, guys, the day you receive Jesus and the day you see this wisdom strip, that's when you start putting, you go to work and you put 100% into your job, all right? You put 100%. And you know, employers love these diligent workers, and they want to go, can I clone you? Because you are, man, burning up the place just working hard, all righty? But listen, that's a wisdom strip, praise God. So, now some of you, I hear this, Pastor D, I am working just a summer job. Are you kidding me? I don't need to do 100%. Or, Pastor D, I'm just working, you know, so I can get some money, to, you know, chump change. Or, Pastor D, you know, I'm retiring soon. I don't have to work real hard. Everybody else can. I've worked hard. Or this one, Pastor D, I work a union job. You know, when you work a union job, doesn't matter if you work hard or you don't, you get paid the same thing. No, listen, a diligent, hard worker is to put 100% in what they're doing, because then God will bless you. God will bless you. Everybody say, I'm blessed. Matter of fact, I've heard stories about Lane. Just got another raise. I don't think he's a slugger over there. Okay. Okay. Yay. God, way to go, God. Hallelujah. Now, an attitude of the slugger is, I don't need to put 100% in. Well, you keep doing that. Go ahead. Just be a sluggard. right? And listen, it'll take you this way. And God's blessings are this way. And you're just going to live mediocre, and you're going to miss what God wants to pour into your life, okay? So let me give you one more wisdom strip. Proverbs 10:4. Lazy people, sluggards, are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. In other words, you put your whole heart into what you're doing, okay? And God will prosper you. Pastor D, they don't give raises at my place because, you know, we've hit the cap or whatever. Listen, God will get blessings to your life. Doesn't have to be financial things. You put your whole heart in and be that diligent worker. Listen, God who made the heavens and the earth, he will bless you. All righty? Here's one more. Proverbs 12:24. Work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and never succeed. All right? So you put your whole heart in and you will have success. You put your whole heart in to serve, work, and he'll have success. So here we are. These are rumble strips. These are wisdom strips. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to give you one more. And this one's found in the New Testament. You can open up to 1 Corinthians 6, and we'll get there eventually. Some of you, listen. Some of you are going to hear this, and you're like, well, that one's not for me, Pastor D. What about if this one, this wisdom strip I'm going to give you is for your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren? Well, I don't have any grandchildren, Pastor D. Okay, what about if this is for your nieces and nephews? Well, I don't have any. What about this wisdom strip that I'm about to give you is for this next generation that you can help? Oh, okay, Pastor D. And then some people say, well, you know, that's definitely for young people. I hear, yeah. No, you're 40, 50, 60. You're going to need this rumble strip, okay? So here's the last one. The rumble strip that we're going to talk about next is called the rumble strip of sexual purity. Everybody smile. Say sexual purity. Okay. Praise the Lord. I don't know if you don't know this, but the culture we live in, you have to fight to stay sexually pure. You do. It is nonstop everywhere you turn. All righty. So we're going to, well, just write this down. Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7. I want you to read that this week. Okay? And that has to do with sexual purity that's connected to adultery. Pastor D, this isn't a Sunday morning service. Oh, yeah, baby. You better get this and tell everybody, all right? So Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 have to do with adultery, all right? Adultery. So in case you don't know, adultery is when you're married and you have relationships with someone that's not your spouse. Light bulb's going off. Or you're single. And you have sexual relationships or relationships with someone that is married. That's adultery. Not hard to figure out, okay? Now listen, the Bible has a whole lot to say about that. You want to know what it says? Okay, ready? If you do that, you are going to crash. If you do that, you're going to crash. What do you mean, crash? Listen, your kids won't like you no more. It takes them a while. It messes with your finances. And I'm going to tell you the last part. It messes with your spiritual walk. Can I get an amen, Miss? Amen. Gosh, all right. So go read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. And it's a rumble strip. It's a loud one. Boom, 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 boom. You do this, this is what's going to happen. Boom, 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 boom. All right? It's a rumble strip. All righty? Now, I am always really cautious when I teach on this, and I never want anybody to be condemned because maybe you've been that, done that, all right? And there is always forgiveness. God doesn't say, well, that's not, you can't forgive you. No, there's always forgiveness. And you go, God, I messed up. And he is the redeemer. He is the restorer, all right? All righty. And so how about we just go, God, thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you, forgiveness. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I just wanted to take a moment and just toss to anybody that not sitting here, yeah, right, Pastor, okay, or you know somebody that's starting to flirt with that. And it is a slow slope. It is not one day they wake up and going, ta-da, I'm going to, do adultery, okay? So if you're flirting with that, read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. Just read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. It is going to tell you that you are going to crash 100 miles an hour, and it is going to blow up your life. And it'll blow up the people around you, not just your marriage, your finances, and relationship, and your relationship with God. Praise God. So, now, on the other side of that, let's just flip over here. I want to talk about not the adultery side of sexual impurity, but I want to talk about casual sex, all right? Pornography. Can I tell you a story? This is probably, it was when I got my new laptop, okay? I was downstairs typing, playing with, no, it's just playing. I was looking at shopping sites and decorating and then recipes and stuff, and I'm just like, and all of a sudden, about throw the laptop, jump on the sofa, Jesse, help me. He comes running out like there must have been a bear in my living room. I am freaking out. Guys, I have never gone to one of those pornography sites. But that moment, I have to get that out of my head. And Jesse's like, Mom, what did you touch? I didn't do anything. Well, obviously I pressed the wrong button, okay? And I still don't know what I did, but Jesse's like, Mom, and it scared me. It was horrible because I don't have that. I don't go there. I never did. And all that. Okay, guys, pornography is all over the place. And if you're a parent, you need to watch what your kids are. Somebody just told me that you can put their cell phones on airplane mode and then they won't get, I don't know, because I don't even remember how to turn the airplane mode on, but whatever. But listen, you just think, well, it's in when you go on your computer. You know, back when I grew up, you'd go into these stores. No, it's everything electronic. But you just turn on your TV. Turn on your TV, and I'm like, grab a pillow, turn the channel. It is out there. It is out there, all righty? So God says, hey, I want you to be sexually pure. I don't want you to mess with those things. Just stay pure. Stay pure, stay pure. And you might say, of course, you're smarter than the fifth grader, but you might say, well, why? Glad you asked. I'm going to tell you the number one reason. And my number one reason, you're going to think, are you kidding me? No, you're probably going to go, I don't believe this. Listen, and there's diseases with casual sex, okay? There's all sorts of crud going on. But this number one reason, open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me turn over there. Verse 18. Okay. This is the number one reason why God says, hey, I want you to stay sexually pure. Ready? 1 Corinthians 6:18. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects your what? Your body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your what? All right. Did you notice the first part? Run. Run from what? Sexual impurity. Run from it. Run from it. Okay. Years ago, I was trying to figure this out. Years ago, we went up to Potter County, and there, I was just talking to Michael about this. There was Denton Hill. That's it. So it's a ski resort up in Potter County. And they had a bow hunters archery festival going on. You were too little, Stephen. You wouldn't remember, but Jim. So we went up there with Jim and the fair class. We just had a great old time. So me and the ladies were down at the bottom of the hill. I don't know where the guys are. They're going to buy something. But we got kids. And we got three bigger boys, and they're probably eight. Jesse and James, right there, you got to know. Jesse, James, and Michael. And I'm down here sitting with the ladies and underneath a tree. And next thing we hear this commotion up on the hill. Not too far up, but up on the hill. And you see three boys. And they're running for us. Guess what? They were digging around in some old logs, and they ran into some bees. And they had gotten stung, and I was like, don't come near me. No, I don't know. I think I did do that. I was like, Bev, you take care of it. So anyway, praise the Lord. Can you imagine how fast you'd run if the bees were after you? Uh-huh. And what does God say? I want you to run like the bees are after you. Run as fast as you can, because sexual sin will do damage in your life. Amen, Pastor D. This is great preaching, okay? I thought there'd be more hooping. I don't know. Okay. All righty. Now, I have to tell you, though, the first time I read some of these wisdom strips when I was just a newbie in Jesus, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? God, I don't understand this. God, everybody's doing it. And I'd have these conversations with God, all right? And then, but I'd have these conversations about his wisdom strips. So, back to verse 18. Verse 18 that says, here we go. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body, all right? So someone might say, well, Pastor D, pornography is not a sin against my own body. Oh, no. Everybody say, oh, no. Oh, no, no. Read verse 19. It'll tell you why. Let's jump over to 19. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You don't belong to yourselves, verse 20, for God bought you with a high price so you could honor him in your body. Okay. If you're a Christian, raise your hand, because this applies to you. This scripture applies to Christians, okay? Now, I want to emphasize this first part of what happens if you're not sexually pure. We're just going to talk about the knots. If you're not sexually pure, we're going to talk about this. So verse 19 says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So did you notice that God did not say your body is the house? He didn't say your body is the house. House is common. You live in house, you live in house, you live in house, you live in house. It's a common thing. He didn't say your body is the house of the Holy Spirit. What word did he say? He said your body is the temple. Temple. And temple is way different than a house. And the word that he uses refers to the Old Testament temples. Moses built a temple for God. It was a temporary one. Then Solomon built this whopping big, beautiful, expensive thing, all righty? Now, when they had directions for God, and when they built this temple, God said, make sure you follow these rules. Don't do this. You guys do this, okay? And when you do this in the temple that is holy, you follow these rules and clean it up and da-da-da-da-da. You do this, then the temple is holy. Then I will come and dwell in the temple. And God dwelled in the holy of holies part of the temple. All right? Now, what does that have to do with us? Okay, here's what God's saying. Here's what he's saying. Ready? When you accept Jesus into your life, he made you holy. Everybody say, I'm holy. All right? And that's why I think it's in Colossians. It's also in Ephesians. It's all through the epistles. He'll say, you are now, when you accept Jesus, you are now holy and blameless and without fault in the sight of God. So what are you? Holy. Okay? Now, not only, you know, the Holy Spirit around you, but the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. Everybody say, I got the Holy Spirit inside me. Holy. Oh, holy, holy. So God made you holy. Praise God. Now, if you understand that you are holy, it will change how you live your life. You won't mess with this stuff, but it'll change how you live life. It'll change how you live life. Now, some of you would say, well, Pastor D, you don't know what, I'm not that holy. You should see what goes through my brain. No, listen, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he has washed you clean, right? He's changed everything in your life. You are holy. Say, I'm holy, all righty? Now, here's the rumble strip. Boom, 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 boom. Here's what sexual impurity will do to you. Here's what casual sex will do to you. And this is the one you weren't even thinking about. Okay, you ready? It will stop you from having intimacy, personal relationship, fellowship with God. It's a rumble strip. Sexual impurity, casual sex, pornography will stop you from having intimacy with God. And the most precious thing in your life when you receive Jesus is that I have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. So do I want to mess and not have that? And I've seen it over and over and over again. You mess with that stuff. What do people do? Number one, they never look you in the eye. Okay. Then they move from the front row to the back row to out of church. Okay. Yeah. All right. And then disappear. All right. So praise God. So open up. This is our last scripture. Ephesians 4:30. The most precious relationship that you and I can have is not with your spouse, not with your kids, not with granny, is with the Lord. And I don't want anything to stop, hinder that my relationship. So Ephesians 4:30. And do not grieve. Everybody say grieve. The who? The Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Okay. So that just told me that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. That means he's not happy. That means he's not laughing. That means he's not too thrilled. That means he's kind of sad, okay? Grieved, okay? And you know how you grieve the Holy Spirit? By the way you live your life, okay? And we're talking about sexual impurity. The way you live your life will grieve the Holy Spirit. And you don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit because I want to have intimacy with God. Real easy. That's the reason. I want to have this sweet relationship with God. And I do. And you know, that sweet relationship when I am in worship. I did like, man, I don't care what y'all sing on Sunday morning. I just go have I'm just having a great old time in worship. All right. And when I pray, I just have a great old time praying. All right. And when I read my Bible, I have this relationship that when I read my Bible, God talks to me. It is a sweet relationship. But you want to stop and hinder that from happening? You just mess with this stuff. So praise the Lord. Now, in my young age of 65 years old, Jack and I started this church 34 years ago, something like that. Okay. We've worked with a hunk of people. We've worked with families. We've worked with singles and stuff like that. And you know what I've seen? You know what I've seen? People are really hungry for God. They don't know they're hungry for God. They're really craving intimacy with God. All right. But the devil comes along and he'll put something crazy low. Okay, nice word, D. Nice word. Okay, he'll put something crazy icky in their life. Can't think of a good adult word. Okay, alrighty. So, but people, and they don't even know that they're hungry. Alrighty, they don't even know that they're hungry for an intimacy with God. They don't even know that. Alrighty. So God is saying, hey, man, you want to mess with that? That's low. But I can offer you intimacy. I can offer you a relationship with God. I can offer you the sweet places that nobody, nothing you can pay for. And so praise the Lord. By the way, God said marriage is precious. Everybody say precious. And intimate sexual relationships in marriage is precious. And you know what happens when you muck with that? God says that is not cool. God says you do this outside of marriage. It's not cool. And you're going to crash. And you're not going to have intimacy with me. And the sweetest thing, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I call you. I just like hanging out with you. We can go out to eat and stuff like that. But y'all good. But listen, intimacy with my Savior. And I don't want to mess with it. And you don't want to mess with it, right? Praise God. So let's swing this around on the positive side. Everybody go, let's get a little jolly here. Okay. Some of you have never even, you've been sexually pure, super duper. You've been sexually pure your whole life. This is great. But you never realized you could have intimacy with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. So today, light should be going off. Some of you may be flirting with this idea. And I just want you to hear the Lord say, hey, I got something better, a place with me. And if you do this, it is going to take you down paths you don't want to go. That'll take you to places you don't want to go. All right. So I don't know about you, but I am excited the day I received Jesus. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of me. The Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that just wonderful? And now I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Tell somebody next to you, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are holy. Woo! Praise the Lord. Let's just go, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Woo! Thank you, thank you, thank you for the Holy Spirit that came and lived inside me. Thank you. All right. Now, some of you might be looking at this wisdom strip and saying, God, you're telling me I can't do this now? Okay, and then what you should do is go, God, I don't get all of this, but I am going to submit to your wisdom strip, knowing that you are God and you'll bless the socks off of me and you're a sure win. So I'm going to just get hungry for these wisdom strips. Amen. Praise the Lord. How about we pray? Why don't you stand up and we'll pray since you've been sitting here, all right? Father, I thank you for every person in this room. Praise the Lord. Lord, I know we are at all different levels. And some of you, I just preach to the choir. You're like, yeah, thanks, Pastor D. And other you, this is like, wow, I did not know that wisdom strip. Okay, but Lord, we are so thankful for you. We're so thankful that Jesus saved us. Father, I just thank you that you have spoken to every person's heart, even things that I didn't even say out of mouth. Holy Spirit, you were speaking to them. And Father, I thank you that the words that you spoke, you will water them like a seed. You will grow them like a seed, and it will produce change in their life and blessings in their life today in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Eyes still closed, or close your eyes if you didn't. I love these people. They look me right in the eye. I said, close your eyes. Kids ministry is so much easier some days, y'all. I'll tell you what. But really, seriously, Father, if there's anybody here and they don't understand the eternity, they don't understand that, and they don't know that if they were to die today, where they'd go to heaven or hell, can I just speak to you and say that, thank you. It's Jesus. Jesus came. He died for everyone's sin. He died for your sins, the one you did now and the one you will do later. And he died on a cross, and he took your sins, all the punishments, and went to hell. God raised him 3 days, 3 nights later, sates him at the heavenlies. And he said, I have washed away your sins. So the question is, what have you done with Jesus? If you're here today, what have you done with Jesus? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Anybody who calls on me, I will save eternity, blessings. Phew, just great, great things. So, if you call on his name, you'll be saved. So if you're here today and you have never, and the Holy Spirit's been tugging on your heart, how about you say this prayer with us? And there's a bunch of you, I know you've already prayed it, but we're going to pray this out loud, all right? So if you're praying this for the first time, you pray it so you can hear it. If you're praying this because you're the choir, you pray it so you can hear it too. So how about you say, Lord God, I thank you for Jesus, that he died on a cross for my sins. And today, I believe Jesus to be my Savior, and I declare him as my Lord. And Jesus, this day I accept you, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Crazy thing, if you prayed that for the first time, you may not have gotten goosebumps or snot out of your nose. But Jesus did a miracle. A miracle happens in your heart. All right. And I didn't feel nothing really. Okay. But a miracle. And the Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing when one person prays that prayer. And any age, you know, at the last second, they pray that prayer and it's, woohoo, hallelujah, home, they're coming home, they're coming home. So there's a world out there. It's crazy, y'all, okay? And they need to hear just even this last part, that Jesus loves them, he died for them, and go be a light. So, Father, I thank you that we are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. We're blessed going in, blessed going out. Everything we set our hands to, we prosper in, and you are a light for this world. So, go in peace, go anointed. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. If you would like to ride with me to Gateway Church on Wednesday the 24th, be at the parking lot. Might you want to call me so I make sure I can fit everybody in my car. We'd love to go pray together, okay? Amen. Have a super, super week. Praise God. If you want to come, so come to me. No, no, get in my car. You don't want to drive at night, do you? It's real easy. Google it. Here.